All righty then. So if, for everyone that's staying in here today, if you could turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, please. So last week when I was talking about going fishing and different ways of fishing and whatnot, I started out by talking about what kind of filter we're using in our day-to-day walk. Because if we use the world's filter and we look around at what's going on in the world, we can get super discouraged. Because the world, it just seems like everything's breaking. Things are getting worse. It's going to continue to get worse. It's hopeless. And it's just going to continue nosediving. And that would be the world's filter. But if we filter it through the Bible, and we can, I think, at least for myself, I really believe we're in the end days of the end times. I think it's getting really close, and I think in my lifetime, Christ's going to come back. That's what I think. That's what I believe for me. Is it today, tomorrow? I don't know. But I know that Jesus said he's coming back soon, and that word can mean soon and suddenly. And so I think as Christians, that's got to be our perspective of soon and suddenly Jesus is going to come back. And what are we doing when he comes back? So if I'm living in the end days, the end times, and Christ is just about to come back, oh, and my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm born again Christian, I have the mind of Christ, then I'm going to use that as my filter. I don't want to use the world's filter that says everything's broke and it's only going to get worse. That's just going to discourage me. I'm certainly not going to share the gospel, and I'm going to live defeated because I'm already beaten. Whereas I want to live in the victory that Christ got me at the cross. That victory is a complete victory that was completely purchased by the blood of Jesus at the cross. That's already mine. I want to live in that one. So that takes a whole different filter. As Denise said, I have to put the helmet of salvation on. That's got to be how I filter my thinking through. So I talked about that last week of, you know, either we're just going to kind of schlep through life, we're beaten, nothing seems to work, including church and the gospel, so I'm just kind of hanging on. Or I'm going to go, no, it's really bad. And you know what? I think some of it's going to get worse. But guess what? There's hope in Jesus Christ. That this stuff isn't supposed to improve and be our salvation. The Bible says all this stuff is going to completely break and God's going to make brand new for us. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. So I talked about that a little bit last week. I want to go on that this week. And I want to springboard out of this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Because it's almost word for word, but what I'm talking about. And when the Lord led me to this on Monday, I thought, oh, I got to keep going with this thing. This is what I thought to myself. And so we'll start in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. The previous chapter talks about this King Asa. He becomes king and he starts these reforms in his country. In chapter 14, the previous chapter, it talks about how he tears down some of the Baal worship. He tears down some of the false god stuff. He starts this process of getting the nation back to God. It's not complete, but he has a good start on it. So that's chapter 14. And so then we come into chapter 15, verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And I just love how this story it really seems like a picture of what's going on right now. Nation against nation, city against city, all kinds of turmoil. And like sometimes I'll open up my MSN on my computer and I'll just start scrolling through like the 10 main headlines. It looks like God's trouble in this world right now. Some of these headlines, it's just like one after another. You're like, what? That's crazy. And you go to the next one, it's like, oh, that's worse. You go to the next one, it's like, no way. How do they think that is going to help anything, right? And so after a while, you just got to close it, run away, and go, oh my gosh, Lord, why was I even looking at that nonsense? So as I read this thing, I thought, this is what we're living right now. And this was all those years ago, centuries ago, when you have a lot of people, like I'll say for it's what the world seems like, it seems like every nation has turned away from God. I can't think of one single nation that is predominantly Christian and Christian-driven with Christian government in place. Do you know of one? For the first time ever in our history, America is less than 50% Christian now. And that's just self-proclaimed. That's not actual practicing. Because you got to know there's a whole bunch of people think they're Christian, they're not, right? Jesus said, wide is the way to destruction, narrow is the way to salvation. And so I think like never before, you have nation against nation, city against city. You've got cities burning themselves down to prove a point to someone several states away. What? Why would I burn my house down because I'm mad at you? It makes sense to some people right now. It's crazy. So before we break down some of that stuff, though, I just love verse 1. Because verse 1 really kind of, for myself, it orientates what the truth is, and it emphasizes where my faith needs to be. Now, the Spirit of God, now the Spirit of God. So no matter what people are doing or the choices, what they're going to do, what they're trying to break, what they already broke, doesn't matter. Because right now, the Spirit of God, no matter what, it's the Spirit of God. I love how it says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. It's like sometimes when you watch the news or you listen to other people around you who watch the news a lot, it can seem hopeless. It can seem so confusing. But then you open your Bible and you read a simple story like this, and God is so in control. Asa was a busy man trying to bring reform into this whole nation. And a lot of the commentaries I was reading says he was probably about halfway there, plus or minus a chisel. He was about halfway there. And so I wonder if God tried to speak to him, but because he was so busy, a moving and a shaking, he didn't hear the Holy Spirit speak to him. So God goes and talks to this prophet, who then goes and talks to the king, says, hey, excuse me, dude, hold on a second. I got some very specific thing for you. And to me, that is just so encouraging, because I can get really busy sometimes, and I can get distracted sometimes, but God is on the job for all of us. And so now the Spirit of God can talk to any one of us for the other one. The Spirit of God can move us to pray for each other. The Spirit of God can do anything he wants in alignment with God's heart, which is only good for all of us. Amen? God's only on our side. He's never against us, right? And so the Holy Spirit moves people to bring things in line with that. Another thing that I really love about this story, and I don't know, maybe you'll love it, maybe you won't, but I like how it has the ifs in here. Do you notice the ifs? And the tail end of verse 2 says, the Lord is with you while you're with him. Huh? If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Whoa, hold on a second. Now, a lot of the current modern theology nowadays says, I can live any way I want and do anything I want, and God loves everybody, so everybody's going to heaven. That's wrong. If you turn away from God, he will turn away from you, period. That's what the Bible says, loud and clear. But I like how it says, if you seek him, he'll be found by you. Come on. If I go to college right now and I work like crazy the rest of my life, I'll still never be an astronaut. Right? If I start going to college right now and I work as hard as I can, I'm never going to be a brain surgeon. At least nobody's going to want me working on their brain, right? I can call myself a brain surgeon, but I don't think they're going to line up wanting to get in front of me. Right now, today, I can seek God and I can find him. Right now, today. And guess what? I can go back to Dick's Sporting Goods today and buy a little tiny $3 bag of sinkers just so I can get in line to this checkout. And I can tell that young man that if he seeks God today, he can find him. Today. Doesn't have to join my church. He doesn't have to have a theology major. He doesn't have to read his Bible long enough or feel guilty enough or quit doing this or start doing that. None of that stuff. The Bible says if we seek him, he will be found by us. That's awesome. And then it goes, so he talks about the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Verse 3. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God. The nation Israel has been without the true God. That sounds like America, right? And I don't mean just the last 8 months or the last 12 years. I think if you go back in somewhere in about the 50s or 60s, you start seeing us as a nation walking away from godliness. It says, so for a long time, Israel's been without the true God, without a teaching priest and law, without the priests and the temple services. And if you guys are familiar with the Old Testament, especially with Moses and Aaron and the temple and all that was set up, this is how it was set up for the whole nation. So the whole nation would basically go to church, they would be taught the word, and they would sacrifice and worship to God by people that have been trained in that to lead others to the Lord. So it's kind of like as a nation, they're seeking God and finding God. And this prophet says to the king, he says, it's just been a long time since as a nation, we really wanted God. He breaks it down with some of the symbolism stuff, which would have meant a lot more to the Israelites than it does to 2021 Americans. But this is basically what he's saying. It's been a long time since as a nation, we filled the churches. It's been a long time since Christians actually were living Christian, voting Christian, and not voting along with the world. It's been a long time since Christians actually carried in all the elections so the people getting elected were born-again Christians. Been a long time. Been a real long time since we've moved and sought God. That's what this prophet tells the king. It says, it's been a long time. And then he references, let's see. For a long time, Israel's been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Now, that is a clear reference to the book of Judges. Are you guys familiar with the book of Judges? The book of Judges is an amazing book. If you want to be challenged today in your theology, read the book of Judges. I'll bet you can start and finish the book of Judges in less than 2 hours. If you're a good reader, you probably can do it in about 45 minutes, something like that. But the book of Judges is full of story after story after story after story of a nation like America that is really blessed by God because they were wholeheartedly following God as a nation. And then they get super blessed and they get super comfortable and they go away from God and they start worshiping all these false gods and sacrificing to these false gods until the nation gets what they wanted. They wanted an ungodly nation because sometimes God convicted them of the sin. They felt bad. So let's get rid of all the rules. We'll all just do whatever we think is right and it'll be a big old party. And when you do that, you blow yourselves up and your whole society. You don't believe me? Read the news today. Because we have turned away from God and our nation is blowed up on almost every level. Right? Yes. Every sector, every measurable thing is worse right now and getting worse. And so when this prophet goes to the king, he says, look, it's been a long time since America... He was talking about Israel. I'm going to talk about America. It's been a long time since America filled the churches on Sunday. It's been a long time since what they were taught on Sunday was lived on Monday. It's been a long time. In fact, as a nation, you kind of turned and went your own way, and now whatever's convenient and whatever tickles my fancy, that's what we're going to do. And if it's right for you, it's right for you. If it's right for me, it's right for me. But nobody can judge each other. We'll all just decide. You know the term that they use in the book of Judges? They use it throughout the book. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's where we're at. Oh, I'm going to, right now, for the next 3 minutes, I'm going to identify as a 6'6" black person. Boom. You guys are looking at me like I'm white. Are you judging me? I mean, that's really what's going on. It's insane. It says, when in their trouble they turned to the Lord and sought him, he was found by him. The rest of the story about the book of Judges, they're so blessed, they got this great judge would be raised up, and he'd sort all the enemy out, and Israel would repent and come back to God, and they basically say, God, your way's right, my way's wrong, how do I live for you? And they study the scriptures, and they conform their lives to what God told them would bring blessing and wholeness and freedom. And they do that, and then either towards the end of their lives, or certainly in their kids' life, yawn, I'm blessed, I have all the stuff I need to do whatever I want to do, and now I'm going to quit following some of these rules because it makes me feel guilty and it's some of it's hard work. I just want to have fun. And they'd blow the country up again in like one generation. And then God would raise up another judge. And it would be blessed. And then the kids or grandkids would come along who didn't know God and didn't see the move of God, only know dead religion. And they blow it up. And got to raise up a judge. And on and on and on it goes. And it comes out of Judges. They never actually sort out the temple ever again. Not completely long term. So when he uses this phraseology and he's talking about this kind of stuff, this is what that means. It's like, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel's been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. And great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city. And if you go back and you read Judges, many times it was so bad you could not walk on the highways. It says they forsook the highways and they took the byways. So can you imagine as things, if things continue to go like they're going right now? Well, we've already seen it in some of the highways out on both coasts, East Coast and West Coast, where rioters would shut down the highways so you couldn't drive on the highway. You remember that? They called them protesters. But we all know that nowadays, protesting and rioters are synonymously used. And there's a huge difference. I'm going to get to that in just a second. This is how the Message described the world at that time, and I think it fits right now. At that time, it was a dog-eat-dog world. Life was constantly up for grabs, and no one, regardless of country, knew what the next day might bring. Nation battered nation, city pummeled city, God let loose every kind of trouble among them. Wow. Do you ever shake your head when you see some of the stuff going on right now? Do you ever shake your head, scratch your head? Do you ever wonder, like, that's worse than just people can do? God, are you giving the devil more permission right now? Have you loosed him to a greater extent on some of the stuff that we're seeing? Because some of the stuff that's going on, a lot of the stuff that's going on right now, it just doesn't make any kind of sense. Unless you filter it through, it's the end times, it's the last days in the end times, and God's wrapping this up to bring it to a great big purpose. It's the only way it makes sense to me. So I just wrote down this question, then I wrote some of my answers. I'll bet all of us have more answers. So what do we see nowadays because of every country on earth that's turned from the living God? And I know we try to label it as conservatism and liberalism and this and that. As a nation, we have turned away from God and we're suffering the consequences. And some people say, well, God doesn't like that. God doesn't bring judgment. God has set up physical laws and spiritual laws. And when you break spiritual laws, there are consequences. When you try to break physical laws, there's consequences. If I take a brick and I throw it straight up in the air and I stand under it and I say, I don't believe in gravity, it's going to drop on me. And I'm going to go have to try to find one of those old brain surgeons that I might study to become. So what do we see nowadays? Because every country on earth has turned from the living God. Well, homosexuality is promoted as the preferred lifestyle. It's not enough for just to say, you know what? It's not for me, but I'm not going to judge you. You do what you're going to do. I'm going to do what I'm... That is not enough. You're a hater if you don't say, oh, that's awesome. You're so brave. You're a hero for coming out like that. Right? It's the preferred lifestyle now. Watch and see if I'm not true. Think about it that way. Racism is literally being taught in schools, colleges, and even in the military now. Racism. Racism is based on prejudice. This is Webster's definition of racism. Prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group. Right now, in schools, colleges, and the military, white people are being prejudiced against for being white. I'm not a racist. I have more black friends than I have white friends. I've been all over the world. Almost all my trips have been to black people. I love black people. I'm not a racist. But right now, somebody's got to say loud and clear what's going on. And if you can, if it's not racist, a statement that's not racist, you can interchange the words and it doesn't change the meaning. A racial statement, if you change a couple of the words, it totally inflames this. So, like, if I was to say that I was starting a white college fund today, do you think that would cause problems? If I just say some of the things that we're so used to for the last 10 years, it would inflame people. People here would get offended. People might even leave this church if I just pointed out some of the things that we've been so trained with. And now our kids, young people, and even the military are being trained that if you're white, your thinking is actually wrong because of your white thinking. And if you don't get it, that's proof that your thinking's off because you're white. So white people aren't smart enough to understand that they're racist. That's what's being taught right now. I'm not exaggerating at all. Every major sporting event has been hijacked to promote these two things, homosexuality and racism. Yeah. NBA, baseball, NFL, Olympics, you name it. Soccer, all of it. It's all been hijacked now to push this agenda. Rioting is now synonymous with protesting. When people go out and hurt people and burn down cities, they're called protesters. Now, when I was growing up in the 60s and they did that, they were called rioters. This is, for me, hurting others and destroying property is always wrong. I don't care what you're trying to justify. When you hurt people and you destroy property, you're always wrong. Protesting injustice is always right. Protesting injustice is always right. Hurting people and destroying property is always wrong. If we could stick to those two simple definitions, so much stuff would go away. Every single week now, it's more often than this, but I want to make sure I have a conservative number here. I don't want to try to exaggerate. Every single week now, at least one police officer is hunted down and killed. They use different phraseology. They say that there was a report to this place, and when the police officer shows up to it, they shoot him. There was nothing ever happening. It was a false report. That's kind of like when you go out and you bait in the woods, and when that animal comes out to the bait, you shoot him. There really wasn't a free meal there. It was just a reason. Police officers are being hunted and shot now, killed. At the exact same time that the police are under fire, elected officials want to defund police, reduce their resources and funding so more police can die. That's part of this. I can't even sort of kind of figure this thing out. It, The only way it makes sense is if these are the end days and the devil has gotten untold power unleashed to wrap this thing up according to God's overall plan. Everywhere around the world, people are getting, listen to these crazy things, and there's so much more. This is just a quickie. Everywhere around the world, people are getting into fistfights now. If you go home, you just get on your phone right now and you Google fistfights, you'd be shocked at the stuff people are fighting over right now. These are just a few of the things. Some of the things they're fighting over right now, well, there was a huge fight at Burger King just a couple of weeks ago because the worker put the wrong things on their burger. And so the customer figured that he ought to beat their brains in. A huge fight broke out on a plane because a baby wouldn't quit crying. And so the person riding next to this baby's parent started punching the parent. Now, if you've ever had a baby and you've been in public with that baby or been with someone that was in public with a baby, sometimes babies cry and you can't get them to stop. And if you don't have enough patience for other people, try being that person with the baby sometime. I'll guarantee you, the rest of your life, you'll have a ton of patience. This one's pretty common now. This happens all the time. People get into fistfight because somebody's not wearing a mask. So either the person being told to wear the mask is getting punched, or the person that's being told to wear the mask is sick of it and they punch the other person. Either way, punch me, don't punch me. Punch me, don't punch me. Really? That makes sense to... another one that'll get you beat up in a lot of different places is if you wear the wrong T-shirt. And I'm not talking about someone that says cussing and swearing and just vulgarity. I'm just saying I'm pro so-and-so or I'm anti so-and-so. That will get you assaulted because it's too hard for me to just look away from your shirt. I have to punch you. I have to go to jail for hitting you because I couldn't look away from your shirt. What? I'm not making this stuff up. This stuff is common stuff. It's really common now. So why do I tell you all this stuff? Because I want to wrap this up. I want to wrap up today's message with what Asa's message was. Verse 7. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And one of the things that really sticks out to me in this whole passage, in this story, and what's going on, is this God, the Holy Spirit, comes onto this prophet, sends this prophet to a specific person with specific words for what's going to happen. He didn't go out and grab a box and stand at the corner and go, "Hey, everybody, repent. Hey, everybody, everybody's in trouble if everybody did." That wasn't it at all. Very clearly, this passage shows you people that turn away from God, that don't seek God, that don't want God, and bad stuff happens. And this king, who was faithful in the midst of a godless generation who wanted to see God glorified, and God sends someone to him to say, "Hey, you're right on track. I know you can get tired and you can get discouraged, but come on, keep it up. Keep it up. Take a deep breath. If you've fallen lately, hey, just get up. Brush off your hands. Brush off your knees. Keep going. Because God is on your side. I love it. But you be strong. Do not let your hands be weak. For your work shall be rewarded." And if you want to know a super common theme throughout the whole Bible, it's how God rewards the faithful. Guess what? All of y'all qualify. All you qualify. You guys are the faithful of God. You're here week in and week out, month after month, year after year. You're serving God. You're contributing to God. You're living for God. This is you. You got a reward coming. That's exciting. And our reward isn't tied in with their reward. You imagine how horrible if I said, "Hey, Sue and Brian, you don't get your reward until Washington, D.C. sorts itself out." Forget about it. In 1 Corinthians 15, this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. Then I'm going to read a passage of what he said to the Galatians. Then I'm going to say what Jesus said. So starting out with what Paul told the Corinthians. He says, and this is right towards the end of the first book to the Corinthians. He talks about everything known to mankind in the church. He finishes up with this whole chapter about life after death and being born again. And we're going to heaven. It's a sure thing. And in verses 57 and 58, he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my loved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How you're living right now and the choices you're living right now and the stand you're taking right now, it's never in vain. It matters to God. God's watching. God's tracking. He is going to reward each and every one of us. You guys are the faithful. Your reward's coming. This is how he said it to the Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I loved Cindy's testimonies about going fishing, because last week I was mostly about fishing the lost. But you know what? We're fishing all the time, and the found needs to be fished sometimes too. Because sometimes the found are going through tough times, and we need a little bit of encouragement. We need a little bit of bumping into someone that's got faith, that's got gas in the tank, and can just give us an attaboy in the midst of our own little personal storm. We heard how Cindy and Paul did it. All of us can do that. It's actually scriptural. I know sometimes it seems like there's extremes. You have some churches that don't evangelize at all. If God wants someone saved, he'll get them saved. We're just going to go about our merry business, enjoying life. Then you have the ones over here going, hey, if you're found, would you please shut up and get out of the way? We're here about the lost. It's always only about the lost. Well, they're both out of balance. Because Paul clearly says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work. Make sure you're doing good. As you have opportunity, do good for all, especially at the house of God first, though. If you only got one bullet and you got two targets, shoot it at the church first. If you only got so much to give, I know nowadays a lot of people say, well, you have to give it to the lost because they're so this or so that. No, what the lost is not serving God. So should I bless someone that's a God-hater or should I bless someone that's a God-lover? Paul says, as much as you can, do everybody, but especially in the house of the Lord. That's what Paul said. Wow. This is how what Paul said. This is how they say it in the message. Listen to this. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Nice. This is what Jesus said, and I'm going to start wrapping it up with this. Jesus himself tells us this in Revelation 22:12. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and that quickly literally means soon and suddenly. Behold, I'm coming soon and suddenly, and my reward is with me. And that reward in the Greek literally means pay. Because sometimes we can think, well, you just get a reward because Jesus is so good, and then I'll get something good. No, you get into heaven because of what Jesus did. But the reward you get is from what you did. So let me just read this a little bit. It says, Jesus says, and behold, I'm coming soon and suddenly, and I'm going to bring your pay with me to give to everyone according to his work. It's tough times that we're in right now. It's horrible times if you don't have Jesus Christ, because these are hopeless, bleak, dark days. If you're counting on the government, if you're counting on the military, if you're counting on the police or the firemen, if you're counting on the school systems, if you're counting on colleges, if you're counting on the personal integrity of most of the people that own companies and corporations, these are really difficult times. There's not much hope in a lot of that stuff. There's little bright spots, but by and large, as a nation, we don't go to church anymore. We don't serve the living God anymore. So I just want to leave that with all you guys. You guys are the faithful ones. Let's get out there and go fishing this week. Let's go fishing today. Let's find someone we can encourage. You know what? I'm going to give you a little cheater answer here. You can practice on each other before you leave. You got a room full of Christians. Smile at somebody. Shake somebody's hand. Give somebody a hug. Just go up and say, hey, how you doing? If you really want, here's a cheater. Walk up to them and say, hey, you're looking good. You drop a few pounds? They'll smile at you. I promise they'll smile at you. Either way, we can encourage each other. And we can encourage the lost. And the one thing we can always tell everybody, my life has changed because of the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. That will cut through the fog we live in nowadays. You don't have to explain the Ten Commandments. You don't have to explain the book of Exodus. You don't have to go through all that stuff. Just simply say, my life has changed because of the hope I have in Jesus Christ. Would you like me to pray for you? Simple as that. So let's pray together. I'm going to pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for your good care of us. I thank you for your great love for us, Lord. I thank you that you're the God that lives inside us, that you talk to us like a person talks to their friend. That's how you talk to us. Lord, you give us your word and your Holy Spirit, and you show us how to live. You give us the power how to live. You encourage us, and then you send all these friends around us, brothers and sisters, to help us do this. People that we can work and invest our lives into your kingdom together to bring you glory. And Lord, I pray your blessing on every man, woman, and child in this building today. Would you bless them and strengthen them and encourage them? Would you please convince them, Lord, that they are the part that you call faithful? They are the ones that are seeking your face, that are serving you, that are coming together to be the body of Christ here on this planet. I bless them into your purpose for their lives. Each one was wonderfully and uniquely made. Each one is special with gifts and ability. Each one has a call on their life. And Father, I agree with you and I bless them into your purpose for their life. Would you please now speak to them loud and clear, just like you spoke to Asa, Lord. Would you speak to them loud and clear about what you want all of us to do? I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God bless you. Wednesday we have the group here, and next Saturday morning is a men's meeting. If you haven't signed up yet, be sure to sign up out on the table as you leave. God bless you, and have a great week.